Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with Sia Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And this is September 3rd, 2024. And before we get started, I would invite you to join me over in our private group over on Facebook. That's 1-2 Radio. If you've never been over there before, just look it up, 1-2 Radio, and kind of knock on the door, ask to join, and Jay, our producer, will let you into the room. And you can post comments or questions. And I try to be interactive during the show and pay attention to that as much as I can. But of course, I get pretty into what I'm talking about. And so depending on what's going on, I may or may not get to your question. But if you have something going on or you just want to make a comment about what we're talking about today, go on over to Facebook and join us. So this week on the show, we're looking at the cosmic dance for this week and beyond. Now, I know sometimes I think, hey, this is a weekly show. You don't need to get too far ahead of yourself. However, it's kind of my way. I mean, you know, I'm looking. What's coming up in the future? Where are we going? And to me, that's makes it easier to understand current patterns. But it's also just, I think that's it. It just kind of gives you a little heads up. So today, hopefully, I won't confuse you with too many things that are coming in the future. But I do think it's worthwhile at this point, especially because of Mars, to kind of look at what's coming up in the next few months, specifically with Mars. So we are going to mention that. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And this is a very busy week in the cosmic dance. And I will admit my first thought, you know, that gut reaction, I'm looking about, you know, at what's happening this week and I go, ooh, oh my gosh, unconscious fears and dysfunctional habits. And then I just kind of laughed because I thought, well, that's not exactly what you want to talk about. You know, those aren't things that we really want to look at. But it just struck me that a number of things coming up this week are provocative. They just kind of poke us a little bit. And that's nothing really to be afraid of, because the more we can look at some of those things that mostly do remain unconscious or they remain in denial, you know, the better off we're going to be. So that may or may not happen for you, but I just want you to know that was my first thought. But it wasn't my final thought. It was, you know, it was just that look at what's going on here. There are some things, and you know, what I really thought is this is going to be a week to really stay in the moment and to stay in the grateful mind. That's what it felt like to me. If there's ever a reminder, you know, just like, what are we focusing on here? Or, you know, I can look at my astrology book and go, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that, you know, and kind of in red or green or whatever color, I can mark the things that, okay, that's extraordinary or that's out of the ordinary or that is something that could cause a little tension. But, you know, am I looking at the other stuff too? Am I looking at the waves or just the ones crashing against the rock and maybe coming up on shore? So we're going to try to talk about as many of these as we can. But I would remind you that I write an article for Mark's Power Peak, which is that weekly newsletter that comes out digitally every Saturday night. So you can subscribe to that for free and literally get that newsletter every single week. And it's got not only my article that talks about the moon and the planets and gives you kind of an in-depth look at what's going on every single day, but also there's a number of other articles. And I think, you know, depending on, you know, do you like numerology? Do you like tarot? Do you like just metaphysical talk? Do you like spiritual talk? You're likely to find something in there, many things in there, that really inspire you, that you resonate with, and that just make you feel like you're on the path with us. You know, you're not alone. None of us are alone. And it's kind of like that whole idea of finding my people. Well, hopefully you can find your people on 1-2 Radio and on 1-2Listen.com and on Mark's Power Peak. So, you know, is this new moon from Virgo yesterday? I wonder what kind of experiences you've had. Bad moon rising? No, not really. But that new moon in Virgo, that was last night, Monday, September 2nd. Now, we love new moons, you know? We absolutely do. But when I looked at that one, I thought, ooh, this one's a little complicated. You know, some stuff's going on, like both the moon and the sun were opposing Saturn, the disciplinarian. Now, that's not all bad, for sure. But, you know, it's that kind of energy. That's not just this new, hey, let me put my intentions out there. It was more like, let me put my intentions out there, but what am I willing to work for? You know, Saturn always says, what's your purpose? What's your intention? What are you willing to work for? So don't just tell me all the things that you want to collect, all the things that you say, hey, I want this to happen in my life. It's more, tell me what you're willing to work for. So that's not all bad, but it was, you know, for some people, it's like, woo, those oppositions with Saturn. Now, oppositions, though, relatively, even though they're considered a challenging aspect, they're also one of the more easy of the challenging aspects because it's an opposition. It's two people, in a sense, that are trying to negotiate, trying to work on something together. So we have a good chance of kind of getting that energy together, so to speak, when you have an opposition. But what's a little bit different is now the moon and the sun were also in a loose square to Jupiter. Now, squares are a little bit harder to negotiate because truthfully, one way gets its way, you know, one side gets its way and the other one has to wait. Kind of like a four-way stop when you're driving. You both can't go at the same time. It's not quite the same as an opposition where, you know, the person opposing you, you can both go straight if you want to. But in a square, something's got to give. So that was a loose square, though. But we might have felt a little squeakiness there. Then we also had Mars. Now, this, I think, was a bigger energy. Mars was squaring Neptune. Now, why that can be hard is because Mars, and we're going to talk a lot about Mars, that's that assertive energy, aggressive energy, the warrior, I want what I want, this is what's motivating me and inspiring me, it's my personal will, I'm going after what I want. And here's Neptune, which is the planet of dreams and imagination and spirituality and everything that is not material. And so Mars is going, wait a minute, A, B, C, D, this all adds up. And Neptune goes, what? You know, what are you talking about? Neptune is more like 2 + 2 = 5. You know, Neptune isn't abiding by those kind of rules that Mars usually does. So quite frankly, just on a very surface level, Mars squared Neptune can mean that things feel confusing. Or we thought this was going to work. It's worked every single time. And now all of a sudden it doesn't. My strategy didn't work, and so I have to take a step back. But that can once again be one of those positive things because as we take a step back, we may find a better way of doing something. Now, another thing Mars was doing, it has moved into an inconjunct, which is a very challenging aspect, with Pluto, which is the planet of transformation, which is now sitting at 29 Capricorn, as of Wednesday morning anyway. And so it's up, we're on Tuesday, so pretty much it's there. Or rather, it is there. I know it's there. It moved there last week. But the point is that in conjunct has to be a very, very tight aspect, but it is in range. So as we were going through that new moon and thinking about what do we want this new solar cycle or new lunar cycle to look like, we had that kind of a challenge too. And I always think Mars and Pluto is a particularly difficult challenge unless we really stay aware and awake. And the reason is because Mars is that personal power. This is what I want, and this is how I'm going to go and get it. But Pluto tends to be a more collective energy and almost a higher level of willpower. So it's collective, so it may mean we were hitting up against something in families or community or government or something else that we just felt like something was holding us back or something's got us in a bind. But I want you to know this is just something that in some ways in conjuncts to me feel like a problem that doesn't have a perfect solution. And in so many ways, that's what we're looking for. We're always looking for that perfect solution. But in this case, when we bump up against an inconjunct, we've got to find a solution that maybe doesn't fit every single criteria or characteristic we're looking for, but we learn to live with it. But it can be tight. It can be uncomfortable. That's it. It can be uncomfortable. And tomorrow morning on Wednesday, that's going to be exact. So there again, we may have to just figure out what is this discomfort. And once again, I'm kind of a big believer. I don't think we have to have negative things in our lives to learn, but I do think negative things can be equally good lessons as the positive things. Because when we're uncomfortable, it makes us stop and think. And the analogy that always comes to me, probably because I worked in medical research with people that had spinal cord injury. Well, as a person who has full function of your nerves and your muscles and your bones, etc., you don't realize that you're continually moving around all day long. Like if you're standing, maybe you're shifting your weight from one foot to the other. If you're sitting, you're doing the same thing because your body is continually sending you signals. Hey, you know, I'm getting a little stiff here, or you've been sitting in this position too long. Circulation alone will cause you to continually to move. But with spinal cord injury, a lot of those people, the signals aren't there. So they literally set timers and change their position every 10 or 15 minutes. Well, when I think about astrologically or some of these things that the planets represent to us, when they represent discomfort, it is like either, I mean, you consider it that timer, or you can consider it that inside body message going, move your leg, move your arm, you know, sit up straight, whatever it is. And like I said, we're mostly not aware of it, but discomfort can be a signal that we can look at and we don't have to super analyze it. Maybe we just say, you know what, this doesn't feel comfortable to me. There must be another way to look at this. Maybe there is another way to position myself. Maybe there is another position, period, right? So I don't think that we should run away from discomfort. And there again, I don't want to invite it into my life. But on the other hand, it is part of life. So when it happens, it can be very positive because like those body cues that tell us it's time to move or change our position, that's what some of these discomforts coming from the planets, and there again, they're not coming from the planets. The planets simply represent consciousness, right? We're already doing it. The planets are just kind of showing it to us. They're manifesting if we study astrology and get into this particular system, which I figure most of you probably do or you wouldn't be listening to the show. And I know for me, I love it because it's a system that just seems very, very clear. So we have that. Then also during that new moon, though, Mercury at 23 Leo was squaring Uranus, and it will come into that perfect square on Friday. So Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, back in Leo after its retrograde and saying, you know what, I really want to refine my personal message. I want to refine my ability to express myself clearly and creatively. And now it's squaring Uranus, which is the planet of individuality. So maybe, you know, it's just saying, hey, have you gotten too far away from what your real values are? Because sometimes maybe we're doing something to be provocative, or we're doing something that it may not be our position at all. And maybe we're just doing it because, you know, it's almost like a child who's just fighting against something, maybe even fighting against going to sleep when that's what they really need is they're tired. But anyway, Mercury square Uranus can be where there really are arguments or just kind of stuff going on. So it can be a tough one, but it can also be mind altering. Because then we get a chance once again to look at the discomfort, to look at what's really going on here. You know, why am I fighting against this? Or am I fighting against not changing something that I really need to change? So I'm not going to talk too much more about that new moon, but just recognizing, I thought that was kind of a challenging new moon. I really did, where there was lots going on, you know, with that. And this week we have a lot of other stuff going on too, because as I mentioned, Mars is moving into Cancer. And it's making that in conjunct with Pluto, and Mercury is making that perfect square with Uranus on Friday. And the Sun, which was in opposition to Saturn, during the new moon actually hits its perfect opposition on Saturday. So it's almost like that new moon had a lot of energy that continues to unfold through the week, and some of it becomes intensified. And we probably won't get to this too much either, but Mercury is also on Sunday going to form a perfect inconjunct with Neptune and Pluto simultaneously, which forms a temporary yaw, which means talk about Mercury, that, you know, that mind, that thinking, that, you know, we might be really changing our minds or thinking something unusual or feeling, or maybe gearing up for an argument. I mean, there's any number of things that can happen, but because it's Neptune and Pluto, I tend to think that part of the give here is that as Mercury hits that 29th point in Leo, that 29th degree, that we come to some real clarity about what it really means to express ourselves authentically. That's what happens. So this is not a negative thing. This is like really coming to some clarity. And that's going to happen on Sunday, or maybe afterwards, but it's Sunday. And then guess what? Mercury enters Virgo like within the last 10 minutes of Sunday. So see, we've got a lot going on this week. So once again, I would encourage you to read The Power Peak, because that breaks down every single day. And once again, have no fear. You know, some of these things we probably don't want to look at, but I really think hold on to, and what I'm holding on to this week for the mantra is stay in the grace of the grateful moment, which also means the grateful mind. What's going on right now in this moment? You know, don't try to look for the negative. There is some joy, some wonderful thing going on in this moment, and you can see it. So stay in the grace of the grateful moment. That also means staying connected to yourself and really paying attention to your qualities, your strengths, and not getting distracted by all these things going on outside yourself. You know, where does your power lie? Where does your authenticity lie? You know, stick close to home when it comes to that. And maybe that's not going to be hard to do with Mars moving in Cancer. But, you know, stick close to home. Stick close to who you are. And try not to get distracted and caught up in chaos, you know. Define your little path or your little space. And I'd also say that despite some cranky and challenging aspects that are part of the new moon cycle and part of just what's going on this week, there's also some really cool things that are kind of just hanging out there. And to me, it's a background melody because they involve what we call the outer planets, the ones that are farthest from the sun. Now, the ones that are farthest from the sun, you know, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and we could put Saturn in there too. They always look like they're moving really slowly, but it's just because they're so far away from us. That's why they look like they're moving slowly. And they have huge orbits around the sun compared to us, because Earth, it's relatively, you know, it's close to the sun and it's spinning right around. But this is good news, because what we've got going on right now is Uranus is at 27 Taurus, Neptune is at 29 Pisces, and Pluto's at 29 Capricorn. Now, you know what that is? Taurus is an earth sign. Pisces is a water sign. Capricorn is an earth sign. And you know what those things have in common? They get along really, really well. Earth and water, they're supportive characters. They're friends. You know, sometimes we call them cousins or, you know, siblings or whatever. They get along. They support each other. So we've got this situation where three of those major outer planets are all in the final degrees of their signs, but they're signs that are very, very compatible. So Uranus is in a good position with Neptune and Pluto. And all three around, they're all in good position, in good connection. And it's basically going to stay that way. I know it'll stay that way through at least November, maybe even a little further, you know, towards the end of the year. So, you know, when you kind of look at some of the noise that maybe looks like it's right in front of your face, I want you to pull back pull back a little bit, because those outer planets are actually, they're playing a melody together that is much more harmonic, that says there's a plan here, or however you want to see it. And it's very positive. So once again, if we can pull away from the immediate chaos, maybe we can pull into that song, that melody, that energy of those outer planets that are going, we're out here, we're having a good time, we're doing our thing together. So that Uranus, it helps us break through limitations. Neptune aids with imagination, creativity, and spirituality. And Pluto is change. And they're all collaborating. They're working together. So if you need that little respite in your life, just take a few moments and say, ah, I remember those three are really working together. You know, it's an influence of innovative creativity. So pull to that, get a higher view, go to the mountaintop and find that energy if you need to, or if you just want to. So looking ahead, Mars. We're looking ahead because Mars is changing signs, but also there's something else going on. I'm going to hold that for a second. But think of Mars. It's the planet of action, initiation, inspiration, motivation, physical energy, the ability to recover when we're sick, you know, to build up stamina, to build up perseverance. It's a planet of assertion and aggression. It rules Aries. And in astrology, it really represents to us our personal will. You want to, you know, influence somebody, find Mars in their chart. What gets them going? Is it fire? Do they want to be inspired? Is it water, so they're emotional? Is it about air? They really want all the facts. They want to talk. They want to connect. You know, or is it physical? You know, I want to go climb a mountain. I mean, you know, you can really appeal to whatever the element is by looking at where a person's Mars sits in their chart. What house is it in? You know, where are you likely to see this energy really manifesting? But this is our personal willpower. Now, it's going to enter Cancer on Wednesday afternoon. That's September 4th. Now, ordinarily, Mars takes about 6 weeks to go through a sign. So on average, you know, it takes Mars about 2.5 years to go all the way through the entire zodiac. And it only retrogrades every 18 months or so. Now, that's why this is important. This is what the future is. Mars is going to retrograde this year. It's going to retrograde on December 6th. And that's important because we're not going to get into all the particulars here, but it's going to go. So here, I got a little ahead of myself. Mars is going to go into Leo on November 3rd. So see, we're going to have about 2 months here where Mars truly is in Cancer. Then it's going to go into Leo. But then it's going to retrograde on December 6th. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to go back into Cancer. So that first week of January, specifically January 6th, Mars is going to be back in Cancer. And it's going to stay there through April 18th. So look at that. We've got a lot of time. You know, a couple months right now and then several months in 2025 when Mars is going to be in Cancer. And once again, I just told you, ordinarily Mars only spends 6 weeks in a sign. So when you see Mars spending this much time because of a retrograde, I say pay attention. To me, this is the cosmos saying, hey, this is what we need to study right now. This is what we need to look at right now. And especially because Mars doesn't retrograde every year. Mars and Venus are the only two planets that do not retrograde like the rest of the planets. Those outer planets, they retrograde every single year for maybe 4 or 5 months, but not Mars and Venus. So once again, I tend to pay a little more attention to those two retrogrades because they don't happen as often, but also because Mars just translates so directly into how we go after what we want, why we get up in the morning, what we live for. So I say get comfortable, or rather find ways to manage any discomfort, because Mars in Cancer, it's going to be here for a while. Now, when you look at this, think about kind of the contrast between these energies. Mars is that very direct, assertive, aggressive, independent energy. You know, we often call him the warrior. And Mars, he loves being in Aries, his home sign, right? He loves that fire. Let's go. Let's gear up and let's go. He also loves to be in Capricorn. In fact, we call it exalted or dignified. Those are old kind of traditional astrology terms. We call him dignified when he's in Capricorn because that's when a planet is considered to be at its best, at its finest, or its highest. It's awake and it's aware. But then what happens when Mars is in the opposite of that, in Cancer? Well, we call that the fall. And there again, those are traditional astrology labels that some astrologers don't even pay attention to anymore. They don't talk about it, or maybe they just don't think it's still relevant. But once again, with Mars being in Cancer for so long, I couldn't help but kind of pull that back out of the back of the closet. You know, and think about that. And it does, I mean, there's other ways of looking at it. You know, that, you know, maybe it is weaker, less capable when it's sitting in Cancer. But I think there's a number of reasons for that. But mostly it has to do with the nature of it. Mars wants to be very direct. And Cancer is an emotional water sign that is kind of known for being indirect. And so, you know, how do we adapt? Because that's really what we're being asked to do. We're being asked to adapt to that kind of energy. And as I mentioned before, the other thing that makes this interesting is shortly before Mars enters Cancer, it's going to go into that in conjunct with Pluto in Capricorn. So I feel like this almost feels like a lesson or a situation in which we are going to be asked, maybe in a sense we're being handicapped, like it's like, okay, we want you to run this mile, but you got to put leg weights on or something like this. This is an opportunity for an education or to build character, kind of like, you know, strengthening muscles, because we're going to be doing it under somewhat different kinds of circumstances. But the end result is we build personal strength. We find new ways of doing something. You know, we don't have to rely on all the old strategies. There's a new way to do something, a new way to kind of assert ourselves or go after what we want. And now that in conjunct between Mars and Pluto, it's really only in effect, like I said, for a couple of days. But it's interesting that it happens right before Mars moves into Cancer. So in some ways, it's more released when Mars goes into Cancer. But I'd also say part of the message to me is the reminder that if we're always looking for specific outcomes, it has to be this way, has to be my way or the highway, then we're going to be a little disappointed. You know, maybe we're not going to find that perfect solution that we think that we can find. But see, once again, you find yourself getting caught up in something, chill, relax. You know, really try to remember what you can control and what you can't. And with Mars in Cancer especially, honor your feelings, whatever they are. Honor your feelings. What are your intuitions? You know, what is your psychic body telling you? What are your feelings telling you? Now, you don't have to maybe interpret it, you know, exactly, but honor it. But also remember, there might be a wider and more expansive context in which to interpret what's going on for you, what you're experiencing in the moment. There is a different way, possibly. So have faith. Because the other thing is, and I'm sure you guys have learned this just like I have, sometimes that detour is really a lot more interesting than our original plan. And sometimes we come out of something and go, wow, I'm so glad I took that wrong turn. Or I'm so glad that got changed. I would not have willingly made that change, and I'm so glad it happened. So just, once again, stay in the grace of the grateful moment. So one of the things really is going to happen with Mars in Cancer, well, our priorities undergo a massive change. Every time Mars changes, really, because what was motivating me with Gemini, you know, social, maybe learning something new, talking a lot, listening to a podcast, you know, talk, or gathering information, you know, connecting with other people, whatever it was motivating me with Gemini. Now it's going to be Cancer. And Cancer's water, emotion. It's domestic, receptive. Now think about that. Mars goes out and gets what it wants, but Cancer receives. It's caring and sustaining and nurturing. We always call it the sign of the family, the defender of home and family. It tends to be introverted. It tends to be retentive and really attached to the past, the protector of the memories, the protector of the traditions and what has come before. Now, I'll also remind you, though, it is a cardinal sign. So don't get so into that, you know, this is mushy and no power. Cardinal are assertive, aggressive signs. They're the ones that open the season, you know, and Cancer is the one that opens the season of summer. So this isn't a pushover. And that's why remembering Cancer may be the loving, nurturing, caring, receptive mother, but it's also the mama bear who goes charging after anyone or anything that goes after her babies or challenges her idea of home or family. So this is not a mushy sign, but it is, it's operating on emotion, you know, more so than, you know, like I would say sometimes, you know, you're trying to convince somebody of something. And if it's an air sign, they want to hear the facts. You know, they want to hear the connections. They want to hear, you know, they want the facts. They want the communication. Cancer and water signs, that Pisces, Scorpio, they want to feel it in their hearts, in their gut. It's emotion. What are my feelings? I may be more driven by what I'm feeling than what I'm thinking. And that's going to determine what I feel like I'm experiencing. But we have to adapt because now Mars, and like I said, I think this is one of the harder signs for Mars to actually be it. Because its natural nature of being very, very direct and assertive doesn't work. And the analogy, you've heard it from me so many times, but I'll tell you what, they're just, I don't think there's a better one. And that is thinking about the way a crab, which is one of the icons or one of the symbols for Cancer, how does it walk on a beach? Crabs walk side to side. They don't walk forward. And even though they can, they have legs that would allow them to walk forward. They don't do that because they can walk much, much faster in an indirect way. If they go side to side, they walk much faster. They can scurry across the beach walking side to side. And remember this, Cancer does things in an indirect fashion. That's how it gets what it wants. So if you insist that things go, you know, A, B, C, D, etc. If you insist that they follow a particular trajectory or line, you're maybe not going to be very happy. That's not the way Cancer works. Cancer works, relies on being sensitive and receptive to reading the signals, reading the signs, understanding what's going on, and adjusting and motivating accordingly. So the other thing I would say is while Mars is in Cancer, expect a change course because it's not going to look like that direct course. And maybe that what looks like a detour, what looks like a turn, what looks like a change, maybe it's not a change at all. Maybe if you could see it from above, you'd understand that's just part of the pattern. And part of the pattern or part of the priorities of Cancer is almost always going to be about family, home, safety, security, and creating family or tribe and protecting what's ours, which includes our lifestyle. And remember too that Cancer, this took me a long time to really realize. When I first was studying astrology, I kept thinking Cancer's family. So if somebody's a blood relative, you know, you're in. Not true. For Cancer, family is an inclusive and an exclusive process because we welcome people into our inner circle who share our values and are kind to us, or they provide a service to us. Like sometimes it's somebody like a pet sitter or somebody who does yard work or a favorite teacher, their family, their tribe. Meanwhile, we can be fiercely exclusive even to blood relatives who are not loyal. You know, if they're not loyal to the tribe, they're not faithful to their promises and their commitments, they're not acting like part of the group, well, I'll tell you what, we can cut them off faster than you know what. And like I said, as an astrologer, that always kind of astounded me. And then I realized it's because Cancer makes family. They create family. It's not something that somebody just hands them a piece of paper and says, okay, here's the family. So it doesn't matter if you're a blood relative. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you don't honor that too, but I'm saying, remember, Cancer creates family. And maybe that's the cardinal part of this sign, you know, that we decide who the tribe is. So our motivation to protect family, to defend family, nurture home and family, it's depending on what we consider those terms to mean. And so while Mars is in this sign, we're really going to be evaluating what works and what doesn't. You know, are we getting what we want? Are our strategies working? But just know that even if people didn't seem very interested in some of those things before, there's going to be reasons, there's going to be manifestations that during this time, it's an opportunity to redefine our intentions and motivations that are associated with everything that's Cancer, which are groups and community and home, country, sensitivity, self-nurturance, and emotional health. And it's a great time to work on your intuition, trusting your psychic abilities, trusting your intuition. Now, I have a few quotes of people that I feel like are really good examples of this. One is Andrew Weil, who has Mars in Cancer, and he says, I do not claim to have attained optimum emotional well-being. Actually, I think that may be a lifetime goal. For me, it's an ongoing process that requires awareness, knowledge, and practice. I do know that good emotional health feels like, I do know what it feels like, and that motivates me, notice that word, to keep at the practice. So that's a person that has Mars in Cancer. Now, here's another one. This is Coretta Scott King, who is, you know, was the widow of Martin Luther King Jr. She said, I must remind you that a starving child is violence. Neglecting school children is violence. Punishing a mother and her family is violence. Discrimination against a working man is violence. Ghetto housing is violence. Ignoring medical need is violence. Contempt for poverty is violence. Now, she actually has a lot more quotes, but, you know, I feel the strength. I feel the cardinal energy in there. You know, the almost the mama bear kind of energy coming out in Mars and Cancer there. And Anne Morrill Lindbergh, remember her. Her quotes, she wrote a wonderful book, you know, The Gift from the Sea. And there are so many wonderful quotes from there. But, you know, also just knowing that in her life, she had so many really highs. I mean, after all, she's married to Charles Lindbergh, you know, the first person who flew across the Atlantic Ocean solo. But she also lost her child who was kidnapped and murdered, and which had to have just been a very life-shaping situation, you know, just devastating. Well, one of her quotes is, don't wish me happiness. I don't expect to be happy all the time. It's gotten beyond that somehow. Wish me courage and strength and a sense of humor. I will need them all. And she has, you know, other quotes that are wonderful. And this one, I'm just going to read the first part of it. I want, first of all, in fact, as an end to these other desires, to be at peace with myself. I want a singleness of eye, a purity of intention, a central core to my life that will enable me to carry out those obligations and activities as well as I can. And like I said, if you've never read Gift from the Sea, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Very reflective and something you would probably really enjoy. Or at least I enjoy it and like to pick it up every once in a while and go through that. So, then, another person I think is interesting that has that Mars in Cancer is Michael Phelps, you know, the Olympian swimmer. I mean, how perfect is that symbol as a demonstration, you know, the swimming thing. But also, he's interesting. He had Sun in Cancer, or does have Sun in Cancer, but he also has Mars, and I want to point this out. Mars is in conjunct Jupiter. Jupiter's benefit and luck. And I want to point that out because, you know, so often in astrology, you know, we get into, oh, that's a negative aspect or that's a challenging aspect and I can't deal with that. Well, he has Mars in conjunct Jupiter. And I'll tell you what, I mean, if I were looking at his chart as a young kid, I'd go, yeah, he's probably not going to, you know, he's going to have a really hard time asserting that Mars. You know, that's going to be a tough one for him. And, you know, maybe it is, but I think it shows maybe that's why he became an Olympic swimmer, you know. But also, I want to point this out. He has Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto all retrograde in his chart. So once again, sometime when you want to blame all those retrograde planets, think about people like him. There's a number of people that have four or five planets. Now notice, those are all outer planets, and that probably makes a difference too. Those are the planets that do go retrograde every year. And he happened to be, you know, born at a point when all five of those were retrograde at the same time, which isn't unusual, but it's a short period of time every year that it happens. But here again, Michael Phelps, you know, an icon in the Olympic swimming world, Mars in conjunct Jupiter, Mars in Cancer, and five, you know, retrograde planets. But here's a couple quotes from him. I feel most at home in water. I disappear. That's where I belong. Swimming is normal for me. I'm relaxed. I'm comfortable. I know my surroundings. It's my home. Now, I point that out because, you know how I said, know who you are, know what you need in your life. And that's it. He found his medium, not trying to be somebody that he's not. And yet he also said, and this may be part of the in conjunct, I want to test my maximum and see how much I can do. I want to change the world of swimming. Now, the other thing you may or may not know is that he has been very public about dealing with depression and anxiety, and has even said, it's never going to disappear. I recognize it's just part of my life. And he also has a quote that says that when I was finally able to really see that, this is who I am. It's a part of me. Now, he's talking about the depression and anxiety. It's not going to go away. So I need to learn more about it. I need to learn why I work, how I work, why I am, how I am. I was able to dive into some things that I'd been stuffing down inside, kind of compartmentalizing and not wanting to address and acknowledge. I think at that point I was really able and ready to grow and learn. So, you know, there again, you know, we sometimes put these people up on pedestals and, oh, their life is perfect. And yeah, they must have had money. He got to go swimming. He got this, that, and the other thing. No, look at these astrology charts. Like I said, there'd be every reason to believe this is struggle, struggle, struggle. You know, but that's it. He's not of the norm. Most of us don't become Olympic swimmers. What he had in his chart, he's not of the norm, right? So I hope that those are inspirational to you. And I know we have a few minutes left, so I want to check in with Mercury in Virgo, which is going to happen, like I said, late Sunday night, just 10 minutes before midnight. And this is kind of like Mercury Redux, Mercury Redo, you know, because Mercury is re-entering analytical and pragmatic Virgo after its retrograde. So once again, this is a situation where it was in Virgo, it retrograded out back into Leo, and now is coming back into Virgo. So it's been there before. You know, this is Mercury in Virgo part two. And what happens when that happens? That's when we get to put all the pieces back together. You know, that's the time when we start to see, okay, you know, there was something going on here. Now I need to see what it is. I need to put, you know, I've done all the clutter clearing. Now I need to put it back together and see how all the pieces are fitting together. And remember, too, the mythology of Virgo. I think Mark's talked a lot about Virgo in his show yesterday. The goddess Astraea the idealistic goddess who stuck to earth and people and modeling and mentoring to the very end, because she said, I'm not leaving. I'm going to be this mentor. So Mercury in Virgo, it will find the inconsistencies, the holes, and the lack of evidence. You know, this is the sign of analysis and categorizing and being the accountant and excellent at organizing things. But it is that it just does it with all the idealism. And remember, too, that Mercury is going to be in conjunct both Neptune and Pluto Sunday night. So maybe there again, we're going to have some confusion. Maybe we need to really look at our ideals. What is it that we think is so important? I mean, sometimes, especially in the season when politics is so hyper, sometimes I listen and it's interesting to me, you know, sometimes we call it voters who vote just on one issue, that it's kind of like that issue is the only thing and nothing else matters. And I'm not saying that's not okay. But I think Mercury in Virgo, especially after a retrograde, is trying to say, okay, let's look at some bigger patterns here. Let's look at this. And if you truly think this priority outstrips them all, fine, stick with it. But it gives us the opportunity to just really look at something a little bit different. You know, to kind of reassert our attachment maybe to some of our opinions or to some of our positions after having had the opportunity to look at them in a different context. So Mercury in Virgo is a powerful thing, but once again, I kind of pull to that mythology of Astraea because she's idealistic and she says, you know, I'm just looking for the very best. I always want, in a sense, my head to be pulled up to that, even though that Virgo's pragmatic, it's practical. Don't give me your virtues and your values if you can't put them into everyday terms. You know, talking about kindness isn't the same as bringing cookies to the neighbor. You know, it's not about talking. It's about actually doing something when we're talking Virgo. And, you know, we've got Sun in Virgo right now, too. But here's a couple of quotes. I think we have time for a few things. These are people who have Mercury in Virgo. Now, the first one is William Faulkner, the writer. He had Mercury retrograde in Virgo and sitting right next to Jupiter, but it was squaring Neptune. Remember Neptune, planet of dreaminess. And also he had Venus and Leo square Saturn. So, you know, there's some love stuff going on here or some belief systems about, you know, how you can't quite get it perfect. But anyway, Mercury retrograde in Virgo, he said, he has a quote, perhaps they were right putting love into books. Perhaps it could not live anywhere else. Somehow that just speaks his chart to me. Now, he also said, never be afraid to raise your voice for honesty and truth and compassion against injustice and lying and greed. If people all over the world would do this, it would change the earth. Now, to me, that's like the goddess Astraea. You know, it's a manifestation of that kind of energy, you know, of Astraea, you know, encouraging us and telling us that. So those are the quotes that I had, and that's pretty much the show. But I also wanted to just kind of give you a peek ahead and just let you know when I was saying, you know, looking at Mars, you know, looking into the future and looking at the next 6 months or so, the other thing that's more immediate is the next full moon that's going to be on September 17th is also a lunar eclipse. It's going to be at 25 Pisces. So if you're a person who likes to follow those eclipses, there's one right around the corner. It's the next full moon on September 17th. Then, of course, it has a companion. You know, it has a solar eclipse, which will be the next new moon. And that is going to be on October 2nd at 10 Libra. And in between, of course, lots of big stuff, in between those two moons on Sunday, September 22nd, is the fall equinox. That's the beginning of the new astrological quarter. So it's kind of interesting, you know, we've got this sandwich, so to speak, of this full moon, new moon, which are also lunar and solar eclipses, with the equinox right in between them. So, yep, there's lots to be paying attention to, lots to look forward to in the next few weeks and in the next few months. I mean, it's good stuff. So stay in the grace of the grateful moment, okay? Struggle if you need to, but stay in the grace of the moment. And everything is going to, you know, you're going to see a different perspective. You're going to feel things. You're not probably going to go, oh, what a master plan. But you're going to understand how the plan isn't so bad, or the plan actually worked out pretty well. Okay? So just pay attention. Just stay in the moment. So thanks for joining me today. And hey, I know I didn't get over to that. I didn't mention anything about Facebook, but I see some people over there. Thank you so much for coming today, Renee and Kay. And thank you very much for, you know, for posting. I know a number of people. I can't see them all. Well, yeah. Oh, now they're coming up for me. Anne, thank you. Oh, and she says she just got home, so she's going to listen to the replay. I will try to have it up in a couple of hours for you. And Kay, thank you so much. You know, Kay is a Virgo, Kay Dragon, so she knows all this energy. And Kat, thank you for joining us today. So, and there are other people. I don't have time to really go through all those, but I promise I will look after the show. So everybody, thank you for joining me today. Thanks to all the listeners and to those of you in the chat room. And thanks to our producer, Jay Barbell. And please stay tuned for Empowerment, which is coming up next with Kelly Whetstone. This is CA signing out. You can always find me on 12listen.com. And, you know, please feel free to request a scheduled call, you know, at a time that's good for you. Or a call back. And if I am available, I will get right on it. So love to connect with you in personal ways. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.